All right, welcome back. This is the Effective Communication class, and in this session we are looking at props and illustrative exercise. A prop is something that you show. An illustrative exercise is something that you do, or you get some of your audience to do it. So props. First of all, the book of Jeremiah. If you've never read the book of Jeremiah, it's really quite bizarre because God asked Jeremiah to do a lot of things. In fact, he asked him to do things for a number of years, to lay down in a certain situation, to wear something on his shoulders and walk around. Jeremiah is a walking illustration of what God wants, what he wants to communicate to the people of Israel. So if you've never read the book of Jeremiah, read that if you want to know more about props and illustrative exercises. All right, Matthew 22. Jesus said, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius. And he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." It's interesting. The coin had an image, and Jesus is saying, "I want you to look at this image." I don't have the coin, but Jesus had the actual coin. And you see an image, and it's Caesar's. Well, give to the person who it belongs to, because his image is on it. But Jesus was subtly saying, isn't the image of God on every human being? So every human being needs to give back to God. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, simple bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus took simple elements. It was probably part of the Passover, the Seder. And he used the elements people were very familiar with. But he applied them to what he was about to do. That his body would be broken. That his blood would be shed. It's an illustration. John 13, 4 through 5. He, Jesus, got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He is now doing an illustrative exercise. He's doing something. He's acting out something. He's doing something to them. But he's trying to make a point. This is the kind of thing that you need to do for each other. It illustrates serving your fellow brother or sister. The purpose of props, number one, is illustration. How can I illustrate this? How can I make this more clear? The other is illumination. How can I teach you something? So on the one hand, you're trying to make a point clear. On the other hand, you're trying to apply it to someone's life. Examples of props: Coke can and chalice. I wish I had one with me, but I remember doing a sermon, and I put on a table like this. I put a Coke can, and I put a chalice for communion. And they both just sat there, and then I talked about my sermon for quite a while, and those two things were just sitting on the table. And of course, people are wondering, what are these things, why are these things up on the table? What's going to happen with them? Well, I preached for 20, 25 minutes before I said anything about them. So finally, when it was appropriate, I said, okay, we've got two things here. We've got a Coke can. And at that time, Coca-Cola, its big advertising campaign was, this is the real thing. So Coke declares that it is the real thing. Jesus declares that what he did for us on the cross is the real thing, the chalice or the can. Which is the real thing? And that's the choice that you have to make. All right, another illustration of a prop is a casket. In fact, I did this for a sermon illustration once. I didn't have a casket, of course, so I called the local funeral director in my city. I didn't know him. I explained who I was. I'm in a church. I would like to have a casket to illustrate something. And so he delivered it. And it was very interesting. Because of that experience, he asked why and what I was doing. And because of that, he ended up coming to our church. So it's a good way to reach out. Anyway, I had the casket, and at some point in my sermon, I had someone wheel it out, and I opened it up, and I said to people, one day you'll be in one of these things, but you won't get to see what it is. So let's look at it. So I took everything apart, I took everything out, and I was trying to illustrate that that you need to see life sometimes at the end. This is where you end up, so what does that mean for the rest of life? Or is this where you end up? In other words, this is an issue that you have to figure out. People spend their lives, another illustration, they're spending their lives climbing the ladder of success, but what's the ladder leaned against? Well, what's it all about? In fact, that's the next one. I had a ladder once, and I was talking about Philippians chapter 2, where Jesus says... Where Paul is talking about Jesus and how he humbled himself. And then God exalted him. And so every part of that passage that talks about Jesus humbling himself, he was born, he did this, and, you know, there's all these steps of how he humbled himself and then how God exalted him. So what I did is I put a 15-foot step ladder up on the stage area, and I talked about how people climb the ladder of success, and for every point I took a step up the ladder, and finally I was 15 feet above the ground on the step ladder, and some people had to cover their eyes. They couldn't look. They're afraid that I'm going to fall. And I talked about how when you finally get to the top, you know, you're looking down on everyone. All the rungs of the ladder are people that you had to step on to get up there. But it's lonely up there. And it's scary up there. And it's a long fall to the ground from up there. So I talked about all the negatives about being on top of the ladder. And then I read the passage. And for every little thing that Jesus did, how he humbled himself, I took a few steps down, and a few steps down, a few steps down, and finally I got to the very bottom. And when I got to the bottom, I said, now, you know, let's say I'm the one helping people. I'm the one helping people get up the ladder. I'm the support system. Isn't that really better? Remember, sometimes people would say to me, oh, that was a wonderful sermon. Wow, you're an incredible preacher. They put me up high on a ladder. And the next week, no one said anything. And I wondered, well, what happened? Am I not any good? In other words, I'm up high on the ladder. They put me high on the ladder, but now I'm vulnerable. I would rather have someone come up to me after a sermon and say, boy, that sermon really lifted me up. It really helped me. Now, where am I? I'm under them. I'm helping them be lifted up rather than me lifted up. But now I feel better about what I did, and I'm not vulnerable. I'm not vulnerable as to what happens the next week. So I talked in the passage about how Jesus humbled himself, but in the end, God lifted him up. So the goal is not to get to the top of the ladder. But it was a beautiful picture, and I've had people 25 years later, when I go back to Vancouver, they will tell me about that particular sermon that they always remember that whole ladder thing. Rocks. Sometimes I use rocks. I get rocks and I illustrate something. Maybe it's the Ebenezer. You know, you set up your rock of remembrance. They did that in the Old Testament. These rocks are a testimony to what has happened. They had to, when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, they had to get 12 rocks, one rock for each of the 12 tribes, and they had to pile them up. And when their kids saw those rocks, they would tell the story again. So sometimes I'll just go out and find a bunch of little rocks, and this is a remembrance. This is something you put in your pocket for the next 2 weeks and remember this particular thing that we're trying to teach. Examples of illustrative exercises. A race with shoes tied. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So in my church, what I did is I invited some young 12-year-old, a really fast 12-year-old. I asked, you know, I'm 62 years old, what kid thinks they can outrun me? Well, they all raise their hand, of course. So I pick the one that looks like he's the fastest. And he comes up, and he, you know, I compare, you know, old guy, young kid, we're gonna race around the crowd, the sanctuary, one time. We'll see who can finish, and who do you think is gonna win? And I, of course, everyone thinks the young guy's going to win. And I said, okay, but there's one little thing we have to do. We're gonna tie his shoes together. You know, not tie them separately, but we're gonna tie them together, and he's gonna have to try to run with his shoes tied, and then we race. And of course, I win. I win because he's got things tangled, the sin that so easily entangles. So now I talk about, well, what are the things that tie our shoes in life? What are the things that are holding us back in the race that God is calling us to run? Sit on a chair with eyes closed. Okay, so Wally, why don't you come in? Wally is the guy who's doing all this taping. He does all the taping for CLI. He's the first graduate. Great guy. Anyway, he's been doing the taping, and I'm going to use him as part of the illustration. So Wally, why don't you come on in? Here he is. All right, Wally. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Did you quickly have to put this?
Yeah.
I put this on. Okay, this is Wally. He's behind the camera. Why don't you give Wally a big round of thanks? There you go. All right, Wally. Now, I didn't beforehand tell you what I was going to do, did I?
No, you did not.
Okay. So what I'm going to have you do? I got a chair back here.
Okay.
Okay, this black chair.
Okay.
You know it,
yeah.
Right? Okay, I ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to sort of inch this chair close to you, and then I'm going to ask you to sit down without you touching it.
Okay.
You can't touch it.
All right.
All right? Hopefully I get it behind you.
Right.
Right?
Right. Hopefully.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So face that way.
Good.
Close your eyes. And now I'm going to get this chair. And you can't reach back and touch it. You can't feel if it's there or not, or... And, you know, hopefully I get it close enough to you and so on. All right. Now, I want you to just, without opening your eyes, without touching anything, I want you to just sit down in it. Okay? All right. Now, stand up. Okay, close your eyes. And I'll do it again. Okay. All right. All right. Thanks, Wally. All right. Now, let me ask you. Which was easier?
The second time.
Yeah. Now, the first time, I put the chair there, but you couldn't see it. You couldn't feel it. So you had to trust that it was there. You had to trust me for one thing. Okay? And so you were a little uncertain. You were like, hold it. Is it really going to be there? Even though you heard me.
Yeah, I heard
you could
it
hear it and everything.
Yeah.
But you couldn't see it. Right. You couldn't feel it. And so you had to have some faith.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And the first time you exercise faith, it's really hard. But the second time, I mean, it didn't move, no one moved it, and you sat down right away.
Right.
And that's an illustration of faith. I mean, you can know something, God, I know you're there, but as I'm trying to trust him with my life, well, I've never trusted God in that particular situation, so we're a little distrustful, even of something we actually believe. We know it, but the more you trust God, the more experience you have trusting God with your life and what's going on, then you sit down.
Kind of reminds me of the verse of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and so the more you get into it, the more you have it, right?
Yes, exactly. Right. So faith is something that you have to exercise, and the more you exercise it, the better it is. All right, Wally, thanks. All right, back to the camera.
Yeah.
All right. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So you know it, you believe it, but there's nothing like a little experience to help you through. All right, what do props do? They help both the speaker and the listener focus. Gives you something to look at. Ah, I can see this thing. And now it becomes an illustration. Props and these kind of exercises use the other side of the brain. I think it's the right side of the brain. One side is the logic. The other side is sort of the pictures and putting spatial things together. So now you're using both sides of the brain. They help those who are more visually inclined to pay attention. Some people are word people. They like words. They like logic. Some people like pictures. They like art. They like scenery. And God speaks to them through those things. So when you use props and illustrations, you're helping people that are more inclined towards those things to understand and see things. They add a little spice to the presentation. You know, sometimes it's hard for people to just listen to someone speak many, 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 many words, and all of a sudden a picture or illustration or prop comes in, and it adds a little more interest to it. All right, another illustration, the pencil bend effect. I don't have a pencil, but I have a pen. And if you lightly hold it, anyone can do this. It doesn't take a special genius. But if you just kind of bounce it back and forth lightly, I hope you can see that. It has the illusion of bending, okay? But it's not bending, but it has the illusion of bending. All right. There's a story of Elisha and his servant. There was a king trying to kill Elisha, and they found him, and it was morning, and the servant of Elisha steps out of the house, and he sees all the enemies surrounding them. And so he goes back, and he says, Elisha, what are we going to do? And then verse 17, Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, his servant, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In other words, there were angels surrounding them. Okay, so he saw the chariots of his enemies, but he didn't see the angels that were going to protect him. So I like this illustration because, and here's how it goes. For most things in life, seeing is believing. We have to see it, then we believe it. But sometimes believing is seeing. Sometimes what we see is not true. If seeing is believing, then you'd have to believe that this pen is bending, but it's not. Seeing is believing, we become gullible and we fall into all kinds of error. So sometimes we have to believe something. Believe that God will take care of us. Believe that there are His angels here protect us, even though we don't see it. That's what faith is too. It's believing before you see. And then you see things happen. And you see the evidence of what you believe. All right. What do these illustrative exercises actually do? They add interest and variety to the presentation. They give listeners an experience with which to relate to and remember. So a prop just sort of illustrates and illuminates a point. It illuminates an application that you may have. The illustrative exercise actually gets people involved. They have a little experience. You know, Wally has the experience of trying to sit into a chair with his eyes closed the first time. And that experience is a powerful thing. It's, you know, when I do it in my church, I have everyone in the crowd stand up. And they have to sit in the seat that they just stood up from. And they close their eyes. And now everyone has that experience. And then when you make a point, they have something they can hang on to and remember. They make more difficult concepts more clear. Faith is a difficult thing to describe. You can give these verses, but what does it really mean? But all of a sudden you give them something concrete that they can, oh, okay, it's just like that chair thing. Now I can see how it applies to my marriage, and I can see how it applies to my faith in God. Things to avoid while making use of props. Don't fiddle with your prop before and after its use. So, if I have a sermon, you know, this is the prop that I want to use, this pen. But way before I ever get to what I want to talk about, I'm playing with it. I got it in my hand. I'm talking about other things. I'm fiddling, and it's distractive. Or when I'm finished with it, you know, I illustrate the thing, and sometimes seeing is believing, but often you have to believe before you see. And then I go on to some other points, and I keep holding this thing. It's a distraction for the people around you. So I have it over to the side, I use it, then I put it away. Don't use too many in one presentation. Okay? So I have the pen prop, and I have the whatever this thing is prop. You know, I've got my chair, I've got the book, maybe I use my clothes, you know, and after a while people are confused, there's too many props, I don't even know what your points are anymore. Things to avoid while making use of illustrative exercises. Don't use too many in one presentation. I've seen this over and over again where, you know, I do the chair thing, I illustrate that, and then I light some candles, and now we have the candle illustration of something else, and then I have another one and another one, and it's like people, you know, they start mixing your metaphors and mixing these things together, and they don't remember which one did what, and it comes off as sort of cheap. If you use too many props, too many illustrative exercises, it seems like you don't have much to say, and so you're just trying to give us these little experiences. It just comes off as fake. Don't treat people like little children. Okay, that's another thing. You know, you're trying to illustrate something very simple that people already understand. It's the concept itself is not that difficult. And then you illustrate it, and it's like you're talking to a 3-year-old, and people don't like to be condescended to. Don't be too obvious, okay? So I have the chair thing, but I'm not going to be so obvious about it. I'm going to build a little mystery to it, or the pen, or whatever it might be. Don't make it so simple that people start getting annoyed at your illustrations. Remember, it's just a thing that helps you make a real point that you want to make. It helps you illustrate something that the Bible already talks about. So, have fun with it. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what kind of prop. You listen for your culture, what's popular right now. If you take something that people are already talking about, right now it's the Super Bowl time here in the United States, the big football thing. So if I hold a football, people know what this is all about, but I want to redirect their attention. Or, you know, there's the sport thing Nike, and the sporting world is talking about things, and Nike is in the news. Well, Nike means victory. In fact, Nike is the word used about those churches in the book of Revelation. And it's really about God's victory over sin and death. That's what that swoosh means. So if I can take that as an illustration, when I preached on Revelation, that's what I did for 7 weeks. I talked about that Nike, the swoosh, the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm taking a popular item in culture and redirecting everyone's attention so that whenever they see that, they think about the victory won by Christ, not some shirt or football or whatever it might be. So look in your culture. Take the things in your culture and redirect them towards a more biblical kind of framework.